Little shunk.
And a really cool episode of Chill Fairly. Welcome once again to Chill Filter, and a really cool episode of Chill Filter, because we are here in person. Brian and I are here in San Antonio, one day away from the great 2024 eclipse that might be covered in clouds. Who knows? But we are excited to present to you some episode today, of the qualityest of episode, And yeah, before we get into anything, let's talk about some business. Hit subscribe on YouTube. It means a lot to us. I know there's some new people here. Just know that consider us a small business. We don't really make money yet, but we hope to one day, and it really helps us if you subscribe. And if you're a person that can get behind small business, get behind Chill Filtered. That's the business this week. Here's the podcast. Brian, we haven't met. We've met once before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was for 15 minutes in Phoenix, yeah. Probably the week I was leaving Phoenix.
Probably.
And I realized you are as tall as you say you are. And you got big hands.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't notice. Yeah.
Should we hold hands?
Yeah. No. Look at that. His hands are pretty big.
Comparable.
Yeah, they are. But like yours are like, it's not like you have like thick fingers or anything, but I guess I have skinny hands.
I got sausage fingers, relatively.
No, they're not.
Yeah, I remember I remember chatting with you about, you know, I had to ask the pro the typical noob questions of like, oh, so what's a good day to go to Total Wine? When do you go to Total Wine?
And, did I help kick that off for you?
So I think
you probably had already been doing that.
I might have only gone like two or three times ever. And so like I kind of got
for the morning or for Total Wine?
For the morning.
Okay.
For the morning. Yeah. So like I kind of knew like I need to go in the morning. I need to wait outside. I might have done it once or twice. But then I reached out to you. That's what it is. I'd gone to Queen Creek.
Oh, gotcha.
And you were like, yeah, I go to Gilbert. Mm-hmm. Then I go about, I don't know, 15 minutes before they open or something. So I was like, okay, cool. Well, since I'm a Patreon subscriber, I feel entitled to invite myself along. And I came in and met up with you. And I remember you were sitting there leaning against the wall.
Totally.
At the Gilbert
I had my stand with the 1 foot up and the 1 foot down.
With the sunglasses on and everything. Yep.
It had to be November-ish.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if that happened one more time, it only happened one more time, maybe after that. But I remember there was not too long after that, there was a mega drop that you missed. And I was like, dude, you should have came to
Lee and some. Or something like that.
That was actually the, knock my mic over. That was actually the day that I got the Michter's 10 Rye.
Nice.
I was talking about in an episode not too long ago.
That's funny.
So that was a day that I was just happened to be first in line, and I genuinely had no idea there was going to be anything there. And it was like a mega drop, and there
thanks
was
to me
tons of stag, and there was
really
I was like, dude, you missed out on stag, and that was
I think I remember that.
That was back when stag was still your white whale.
Yeah,
you were like I've never gotten a stag.
Although I got like two recently.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's been great.
Right.
So it's now I'm just going to call my white whale something else really rare so that it'll happen now.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, you got to call it. But we are here coming at you live from San Antonio.
Shout out
to Mike King. Mike and Chihiro.
Yeah.
Hanging out in Mike and Chihiro's house. Yeah. And I will let you introduce what we're drinking today.
Yeah, we're going to be drinking. Actually, we have the bottle right here. This looks like a beautiful bottle of blends. Is it, though? We'll find out because it's funny. I'm doing like, what do you call it? Like, advertising voice. No, we'll find out because there is it looks similar to Blanton's, but if you look very close, there's a few Japanese letters on this one, and it is Blanton's Red. Blanton's Red is, we'll get into it a little more, but just to give you guys a teaser, Blanton's Red is basically Blanton's, just a little bit aged longer, same proof as standard Blanton's, but you can only find this one in Japan, which we'll cover in a little bit. But I found it cool that what was I thinking? I forget.
The age statement.
Oh, yeah. The age statement is a little older. Same proof.
Yep.
So
this is... Now, I looked all over the bottle. I looked all over the box. I didn't see an age statement on here. I didn't read this little booklet on the neck tag. But everywhere I was seeing online explicitly says that this is an 8-year age stated. Mm-hmm. So as Cole skims this real quick,
Oh, that's the Japanese for 8 year.
No. So you mentioned, I was literally about to say, just before we started recording, I ran in and asked Chihiro real quick. I said, hey, I said, what does this say right here at the bottom of the neck down here? It says, the neck says Blanton's single barrel bourbon. And then there's some Japanese characters just below. And she said, oh, that says whiskey. So it's just whiskey.
That's great. And it says on the label, it says the finest bourbon in the world comes from a single barrel. Wow. I wonder if they agree with that, with the antique collection and all the other great things that Buffalo Trace puts out. But does Buffalo Trace put out Blanton's? Semi yes, semi no. We'll get into that in the history.
Interesting.
Otherwise, Brian, I know you flew in this morning.
I know. I got the stank on me still.
Oh, that dude, there is... You don't even have to sweat much on an airplane, but there's like a weird sitting still stank that is stronger than your average, like going on a walk on a hot day stank.
Yep. We're going out to dinner later and I definitely need to shape up a little bit before we go. But yeah, the stank is present. We're just far enough away. Yeah. Cole's hopefully not getting the stank.
I'm not getting that on the nose.
Yeah. But I flew here.
Yeah.
You drove here.
2 days of driving. And 2 long days of driving. I had the first day I drove 14 hours to Mobile, Alabama. Had a great stay. Actually, this guy named Mark, shout out to Mark. I don't know his last name, but he was an Airbnb host in Mobile. And he had a, shelves of scotch.
Hey.
And he basically was like, hey, people can, you know, drink from my scotch. I just ask that they like, give me some to make up for the cost of the actual bottle. And so he wrote the prices on the bottle of the total bottle. And he's like, if you drink like X amount, maybe you could, you know, Venmo me, you know, the percentage or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, how about this? I will share with you some of my stuff and you share with me some of yours. And he was like, totally. And so we drank some Found North batch 8.
Oh yeah.
We drank some, Frontera from, Del Bac. We drank, Yamazaki 18. Ooh. And so some big bottles. And then I actually left him with a 375 of Blanton's.
Oh, fun.
As like a gift. So
I've never seen a 375.
Oh, that's too bad.
I don't need to see one. But I've
they're all over Virginia.
Never seen the tiny ones.
They're cute. Well, you know what really gets me is the 50 milliliter one. Or the, 50,
Oh, my
gosh.
They're cute.
I've never seen one myself, but yeah, they're cute.
The 50 milliliter?
Mm-hmm.
Those are all over Phoenix.
Really?
Oh, yeah. On days.
They're cute, man.
On days where Total Wine gets
Buffalo Trace products,
but like on days where they only get Weller Special Reserve and Buffalo Trace and maybe Eagle Rare, they do typically also get the 50 milliliter Blanton's. And I got one of those recently, and like I've had some several times before, and Sam has never taken notice, but Sam is now pregnant, and Sam is
a little BB Blanton.
She's like, it's so cute. Oh my god,
it is like legit. Like it's like, you know, that I looked, I watched or listened to a podcast one time. It was like the science and evolutionary like use of cuteness.
Yeah, right.
And it's like when things are small and like disproportional in a small way, it's like super cute, and that's what it is.
It's just... it's like everything about it is scaled down, but maybe like the wax still blobs a little big, so it's like a big head on a baby, or like big eyes on a
or
baby,
like a puppy where it's like got big paws or something
exactly.
like that. Yeah, it's like the best.
Awesome.
What are you entry buzzing on?
So, I wanted to stay low proof.
Yeah,
and I wanted some flavor, and I may have only had this one time before from a sample from you, but Cole brought down some 10 cup 10 year, so we're both entry buzzing. So we're both entry buzzing on 10 cup 10 year, just so mellow and so I hate saying easy, but it's just
goes
like
down smooth.
Summertime, it's nothing but fruit. Mm-hmm. There's no alcohol taste on this whatsoever.
This reminds me of like Buffalo Trace Light, but not light in flavor, light in proof, basically.
Yeah. And I mean, there's not even, well, there's a little spice on the nose, but like it, all it is just like some beautiful sweet fruits. So sticking with the 10 cup 10 being the best 10 cup. Yeah.
You agree?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Take that, Matt Porter. We both disagree with you.
Does he say 14?
He does
say 14. Oh, that's funny.
Although, I wouldn't be surprised if Tin Cup starts doing like a 16 year soon.
Right.
And yeah. I would buy that in a moment. You know, the 14 was only like $80.
Yes.
It was crazy.
Yeah. And the 10, what, 50 or 60?
Yeah. It's 55 or so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I now, after having it again for the maybe second time in my life, I might have to grab
totally
one.
Totally worth it. Yeah. Do you see it at Total Wine?
Only, strangely, only particular Total Wines.
Weird. That's the same with ABCs. They're at certain ABC stores.
It's not at the Gilbert one, but it's always at the Awatuki Emerald Total Wine. It's like, it's always there, but I've literally never seen it at Gilbert. I have no idea.
Yeah. You know, I really miss Phoenix.
Yeah, you should move back.
I know.
Yeah, you should. Come back. Wait outside Total Wine in the morning.
And then I can get tight with David and Brian and all your cool people that you talk to. Yeah. And then I get to see Marco and Patrick and stuff like that.
And when we do the meetup in Phoenix, you'll just be there already.
I'll just roll out of my bed. Yeah. Be like, everyone come over to my bedroom and we'll have a party. We'll skip over that. No, I guess bedroom is not what I want. Yeah, that one's going to be written down. Yeah, I'm going to write that down. 13 something. I don't know. I'll get to it later. I really miss the weather.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't mind the summers.
Right.
Like, they were worth it. Right. Especially in the dry heat.
I mean, if you can wear jeans through the summer, surely you don't mind it. Yeah.
Seriously.
Wearing jeans all the time over here.
Yeah. It's funny. We get here. We're at Mike and Shiro's place. And it was funny. And I appreciate that you kept it in mind. So, I got to, Brian and his wife, Sam, made it to, Mike's place earlier than I did. And I finally arrived, and then, we head out pretty soon after to go get lunch. And Mike's like, "Do you want to put on shorts?" And I'm like, "I don't wear shorts."
And I was like, I knew that was going to happen. I was like, I was waiting for him to ask if he wants to change into shorts.
Yeah, I just don't like shorts. I brought some gym shorts in case there was like, I don't know, like if we found out that there was like, we were going to play Gaga in a court or something like that. I was
play
like,
what?
You ever play Gaga?
What? No.
So Gaga is like, so there's some listeners out there, like I bet Bryce Marita knows what Gaga is.
It's where you put on Lady Gaga and you just dance around. Yeah.
No, this was pre-Lady Gaga. And this, I don't mean this as like a, it's not a weird thing, but it's apparently called Jewish dodgeball.
If you have to preference that, it's probably not a weird thing.
No, it's not. But apparently it was like invented by the Jewish people. And look into it. You'll find out. There's like a Wikipedia page.
All right.
And so you play in an octagon court. And and it's like, there's no standard height for the walls, but I prefer it about like, waist high.
Okay.
And it's just an octagonal court and it's got a flat bottom, and you usually a volleyball is what you want to play with.
Okay.
And you basically play in this court, and so that you hit the ball with your hand, and then the ball hits someone below their waist, and then they're out of the game.
You're making all this up.
It is so much fun. I've never had more fun in any sport than playing Gaga.
Okay. So you hit the ball with your hand. Mm-hmm. So the ball needs to be moving.
And you can't grab it. You can't hold it. You have to hit it.
Can you kick it? Like,
nope. How below the waist and you're out of the game.
Okay. So you hit the ball. The ball's rolling over there. It's literally rolling on the ground. You have to just take a swing at it down
and
at the ground.
The other thing is you can't hit it twice before it hits someone else or the wall. So you can't like control it. You just have to hit it.
So if you hit it and it doesn't hit anybody, you're like,
you have to wait until it hits
somebody
a wall.
Else better hit that.
And that's happened. The wall. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you can dribble against the wall to control it, but you can't just like push it your way in the middle. And so it's
strategy.
Super fun. I mean, if I had a week here, I would have found a court and we would like maybe when you, so we mentioned next week.
Yeah.
Of course, there's nothing probably in Virginia. So next week, should we mention where we're going?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Check this out. Check this out, guys. So Brian is here in San Antonio, but then next I got to drive home on Wednesday, or I got to drive home on Tuesday, and by Wednesday I'll be home. But Brian hit me up last week and he's like, I got a job related travel to Virginia, Maryland area. And I was like, yo, come on down. I mean, you were like, should I, hang out? And I'm like, dude, come stay with us.
I was like, are you sure? I'll have just hung out with you for several days.
I haven't gotten tired of you yet. So maybe tomorrow I'll be like, don't come.
Yeah, right.
But So, and then the beautiful thing is that in Virginia, the, in my opinion, the greatest distillery of Virginia is in Fredericksburg, a particular A. Smith Bowman Distillery. Shout out to Marco, who joined me last time on tour there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to find some bottles with different laser codes this time.
Actually, that'd be fun. Yeah. And then, but A. Smith Bowman is kind enough to have us not only record with David Bach, the new distiller there, since Brian Pruitt left for a bigger Sazerac role. David Bach is going to share with us some of the A. Smith Bowman Cash Strength Batch 3. So almost hazmat, but it's going to be, is it, it might be, no, it's not hazmat and it's 9 years.
Yeah, it's not hazmat, but like at this point, who cares? It is A. Smith Bowman Cash Strength.
And I've never had a bad, I mean, I haven't even had a bad Ace or a Bowman product, I don't think. Yeah, so I'm really excited. Thank you to Sazerac and A. Smith Bowman for letting that happen. We're going to have fun.
And look at us. We're drinking Blanton's today.
Sazerac, baby.
Look at that.
Or is it?
dun, dun, dun.
I'm really excited about that. But maybe in, while you're there in Virginia, I'll find a Gaga court and I'll teach you the ways of the Gaga.
Just hear you say it again. I'm like, you're making all of this up.
There's a great Wikipedia page. And the last time I checked, this was like 10 years ago. There was like mention of Sacha Baron Cohen being like a pro at it.
What?
Yeah, because he's Jewish.
Still,
you know,
yeah. Continues to sound like you're making all this up. As soon as this episode is done, I am looking up YouTube videos.
While I do the history, you're gonna be like, what the heck?
This week on Whiskey World News, we're talking about Gaga courts here.
Yeah.
Okay, you might have said this earlier, but when was the last time you played Gaga?
Ooh, that's a great question.
So it's been forever.
Well,
where was the last place you played Gaga?
I just realized there's a court at a brewery in Virginia.
I was so hoping you were going to say, I just realized it's not called Gaga at all.
No, I'm very familiar with Gaga. I mean, honestly, like the most fun I've ever had playing a game. But
nice.
It is, I think the last, I mean, it had to be 15 years ago.
Okay. All right.
There might have been an exception.
All right.
No, I did play, actually, I think the last time I ever played was in San Antonio where we made a makeshift court in my garage with all my friends.
You invented this game?
No.
Dang it.
No, I almost got you. Makeshift court.
Almost got you.
Octagonal court.
I wonder if Lady Gaga has ever played Gaga.
She probably knows all about it.
Yeah, right.
What up, Bodie?
Oh, we got Bodie.
We got a little clicking clacking on the ground, which I don't mind.
Shout out to Bodie
for the sake of the 10-year-old diggity dogs. Shout out to Bodie and shout out to Mike and Chihiro for being so generous as to have us, let us record in their house, and all around ballers.
History.
Yeah. What do you say we take a break?
Sounds good.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we will talk history. We're back.
First walk ever together.
First
co-walk.
I'm not going to say we held hands, but we might have held hands.
Don't tell them. They'll never know.
Yeah, they can guess. Really quick notes to get to before the history. We've done 3 episodes on Blanton so far. We did episode 49, Blanton Straight from the Barrel. Shout out to Caleb Olson.
Ooh, which top 5 pour of Cole's life, I remember correctly.
And then episode 81, actually Robbie's first episode, we drank Blanton's.
Yay, yeah. Awesome.
And then episode 259, we drank Blanton's Gold, which was a Brian Rapp joint.
Boom.
And then now, episode 302, we're drinking Blanton's Red.
Which is a Mike and Chihiro King joint.
Ayo. That was my next note. Thanks, man. No, I'm kidding. But yes, Mike and Chihiro King. Ballers. So let's get into some history. I did, we've talked about Blanton's history. The last time we did Blanton's Gold, we talked about the Beams and their relation to Blanton's Gold, which is actually really cool. So look into that episode 259. But I'm just going to go over basic Blanton's and Buffalo Trace history today. So it is from Buffalo Trace Distillery, built on the banks of the Kentucky River in Frankfort, Kentucky. There's been distilling on the site since the late 1700s, but the first actual distillery was constructed in 1812. That's a long time, 200 plus years ago. It wasn't given an official name until it was eventually purchased by Edmund Haynes Taylor in 1870, which he called it the Old Fire Copper Distillery, OFC, baby. And then along came a guy named Albert Bacon Blanton.
Oh, yeah.
And he began working at the distillery in 1897, and which is the year that the Bottle and Bond Act began, or was put into place. And he was 16 years old when he started, Albert Bacon Blanton. He grew up just outside of Frankfort. When he started at OFC, he began just work as an office boy. He wasn't like a distiller or anything like that. But eventually he worked in quite a few roles in the company before he was promoted to superintendent of the whole distillery, the warehouse and bottling plant.
Superintendent. Did you watch Simpsons much?
Yeah, a little bit. Superintendent.
Super Nintendo Chalmers.
Oh, I don't know that.
Ralph. You remember Ralph?
Yeah.
It's a little slow, a little.
Yeah. He said Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo Chalmers.
You smell like daddy.
This tomato tastes like grandma. The Tamako episode.
I haven't seen that one. Oh my god! I've been going through it on Disney Plus randomly here and there.
You'll get there.
And it's so good. So good. Superintendent of the distillery, warehouse, and bottling plant by 1912, only 15 years after he started. By this point, the distillery took on a new name, the George T. Stagg Distillery. Mm. He worked for the company for approximately 55 years, passed away in 1959. He did hire Elmer T. Lee, one of Buffalo Trace's most famous master distillers, and he even earned, Albert B. Blanton, earned Kentucky Colonel status. Ooh. That's not Army status. That is... not the Army Colonel, that is Kentucky Colonel, bestowed by the Commonwealth of Kentucky and bestowed by the Governor of Kentucky, which is so epic to me. Blanton's Red. Let's talk about what we're drinking today. In 1984, Elmer T. Lee himself introduced Blanton's to the public. Did you know? So I told you this before, but I didn't know this. I don't remember this, at least, is that Blanton's was introduced, and then Elmer T. Lee retired a year later.
Like a mic drop? Just
yeah, boom. Yeah. It was like, take this world. Because, like, really, Blanton's is the first single barrel.
That was when again?
1984.
84. Yeah. Did it come exactly packaged like this in 84?
That's a great question. I would love to see an original Blanton's.
Like, yeah. Actually, you know what? I have seen a 1984.
Have you?
Yes. Not in real life. Oh, yeah, God, yeah. No. Yeah. But yeah, actually.
Looks pretty similar.
Digging in the memory here. Absolutely.
That's cool.
Same faceted bottle shape. Mm-hmm. Same kind of topping.
Faceted is a good word for that. People look at it as a barrel. I'm like, that's a grenade, but it's faceted.
Yeah.
And then what did I leave off? Where did I leave off?
Derail City here.
No, you're good. The first modern brand marketed as a single barrel, like I just mentioned. Single barrel means that each bottle came from no more than one barrel. It is from Mash Bill Number 2. Other bottles with Mash Bill Number 2, Ancient Age, Elmer T. Lee, Hancock Reserve, Rock Hill Farms, and the future... What was it? I think it was Blanton's. My idea for a future BTAC release. That's Mash Bill Number 2.
Yeah, you were just gonna call it
Blanton's Cash Strength or something like that.
No, Albert B. Blanton.
That's what it was.
Yeah, the name. Yeah, because mine was Freddie Johnson.
I like that. Dude, Freddie Johnson deserves that.
Yeah, right.
One day we're gonna go there, and we're gonna get a Freddie Johnson tour.
And we're gonna have him on the podcast episode. Yes. And then they're gonna give us the exclusive release announcement for the sixth BTAC line that is actually just root beer.
And they'll be like, you guys led us to this aged 12 years root beer. And we're so grateful you did that. So we're gonna name it after, we're gonna give you a mention on the bottle.
And a barrel pick of it.
Yeah, exactly. The first barrel pick of Freddie Johnson's 12 year age root beer.
Perfect.
100 proof. or it's cash strength, so we'll say 120. 121.4. So, yep, Rock Hill Farms, high rye. It is a higher rye than Mashville number one.
Wait, why'd you just say Rock Hill Farms?
That was other bottles that share Mashville number two.
Cool.
And why is it special that, I don't know why I wrote this way. So it's very special. The interesting thing about Blanton's, especially Blanton's Red, that Blanton's Red can only be purchased in Japan, not even Europe. I mean, you could probably like get it somewhere in Europe, but it's like probably secondary. The cool thing about Blanton's Red is that you're like, why is it only made in Japan or only sold in Japan? And you have to look into the history. In the late 1980s and the early 1990s, it was a really hard time for bourbon in America. And a lot of brands either went under or had to like make sure they didn't lose a lot of business. And so the Blanton's brand in general was sold to Age International, a Japanese whiskey company. And so up until like a few years back, you couldn't even get Blanton's Straight from the Barrel or Blanton's Gold in the U.S. And they recently made it available, but they haven't made Blanton's Red in the U.S. So a huge shout out again to Mike and Chihiro for literally grabbing this bottle from Japan and bringing it back and letting us drink from it. So
literally. Mm-hmm. Yep. So. And interestingly enough, this bottle, I was under the impression that international bottles are typically 700 milliliters.
Oh yeah.
This
it was interesting.
Blanton's Red is 750 milliliters. You know, just unfamiliarity. I didn't even know they came in 750 milliliters because I was under the impression that, you couldn't even buy them in the U.S. at all.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting. So I guess when you, even if you buy them in Japan, 750 milliliters.
Yeah, it's weird.
And there was a little bag here. Maybe I'll pull it out.
Oh, I forgot that.
Eventually, I want to make sure I don't damage this box because it's not my box. But
dang, yo box.
It came with a little bag. It's like
is it reddish,
kind of felt ish.
Yeah, it's like a Blanton's Gold bag.
It's like it's wow. like a reddish brown kind
Ooh,
of.
Ooh, that's different than that's Blanton's Gold is more velvety. That's like a little thicker velvety.
Blanton's Gold is a little velvety. This black, is yeah. this has a little kind of a crunchy feel to it. It's
everyone's
like a,
different. Do you ever have a Straight from the Barrel leather one?
I've literally in my life never seen a Straight from the Barrel bag, but like
either leather.
It will happen someday.
Totally.
Well, when I saw this one, I was like, oh no, what if the Straight from the Barrel bags just look nice, but have like a crunchy feel like this? But no, they're literally.
They're leather.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay.
But it's probably a faux leather, but
well,
it's like
still
leather.
It's not like, yeah, anyway, it's not, it's what you'd expect when you look at it and then you feel it. It's not going to have some like funky, crunchy thing going on.
It's but in the same way, you're like, Crown Royal does it too. So you're like, is it great?
Yeah.
Like a velvet bag.
Oh, yeah. But that's like the thinnest. Yeah. That's like a cotton t-shirt material is the Crown Royal ones.
But yes, we, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So this one's different because it's aged 8 years.
Oh, yeah.
Blanton's standard is typically between six-ish, maybe eight, maybe 7 or 8 years, but it's typically around six. So this is older, same proof, 93 proof.
And just to be clear, original Blanton's is not actually age stated.
Yes, there is no age statement. So they say it's typically around there, though.
It could be lower than six, you know, and I'm sure they, you know, pull barrels here and there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for, on average, probably the average barrel they pull is about six. Yeah.
So, Brian, do you know what warehouse it's aged in?
H.
H. You know what's special about H?
H stands for Hamburglar.
Yep. And Blanton's, Albert H. Blanton's. No, I'm kidding. So Blanton's is, I mean, the Warehouse H is special. It's the only metal-clad warehouse on property.
I knew that.
And they say it heats more rapidly in a metal warehouse. So the aging is a little different than like what you'd get from a, like an Eagle Rare or Buffalo Trace or a Ancient Age or something like that.
Well, this like very well could be the oldest Blanton's we've ever had.
Yeah, I think so. 93 proof. Cork stoppers are a variety of letters. And this one's an A, I believe.
Yep, yep. I saw that too.
And there's B-L-A-N-T-O-N-S for the whole Blanton's.
And in case you didn't know this, there are two different N's.
Really?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, the Blanton's Stoppers.
I guess there are two different ends. There are the two ends in the name.
One inn has the
leg out.
Right horse leg backwards, uh-huh. And the other inn has the left horse leg backwards. So you actually have to make sure that you got the two different inns.
Are you one of those guys that collects the stoppers?
I have only kept the ones of bottles that I've actually finished.
Nice.
Therefore, I only have two.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I give them away more than I
drink them. When somebody's like, oh, I just need a beer. Totally. You're like,
or hey. Even like I'm getting into whiskey and I'm like, here's a gift. Tell all your friends.
Yeah.
About Chill Filtered. No, I don't say that, but.
He writes it on the cork.
Yeah, I write it on the inside of the cork before. And then I seal the wax once again.
Perfect. Fill it with, what's that crappy Benchmark? That's it.
Yeah. That's what happens. Only found in Japan, like we said. The date on the bottle, 3/3/23, the dump date. Shout out to Robbie. And barrel 136, Rick 48. Total wine price, it's not sold in Total Wine. But Mike was able to tell us that he got it on literally Amazon in Japan for $100 about. But then Brian was telling me, secondary for Blanton's Red is about $200.
Yep. That's correct. And what's the other one?
Gold?
No.
Blue?
Green.
Green.
Yeah. Red and green are typically right around 200.
What's green again? What's the difference there? Different proof, I think.
It's proofed down, if I remember correctly. Late. Yeah.
But it's rare.
Yeah. Low interest in green. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm going to pop this cork.
Let's do it. I'll grab these glasses.
The ceremonial cork pop.
Ooh.
If we thought this through, maybe we would have had Mike come do the
cork pop for us. I think I said one time the proverbial Mike pop. Cork pop.
All right. Listen to this proverb. Oh, baby.
There we go.
That was a good one. All right. I'm going to, no note reveal yet, but there was an ooh there.
Ooh.
And that was way too much for me. I'm going to give you less than
me.
That's
cool.
Actually, we'll do the water with the remainder
of this.
Oh,
that's a good idea.
And then we'll do the ice with a second pour. So you'll also get to experience a second secondary cork pop.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a sniff.
It was. It showed when I exhaled that much.
What'd you get with all that sniff? You had to have gotten
a
lot.
93 proof. Okay. Let's talk about this. Mashville number one. 6 years. What do you get?
Apple.
Buffalo Trace. Wrong. No, I'm kidding. Let's say you get a little higher. Maybe 10 years. What do you get?
I'm sorry. What are you asking? Just generic?
Eagle Rare. So if you look at the difference between Buffalo Trace, which is about 6 to 7, and Eagle Rare, which is a little few years older. Recently I kind of figured this one out and I was like, okay, Eagle Rare is definitely better than Buffalo Trace. Like comparing the two, you're like, Buffalo Trace almost has a youth to it when it's like not that young, but like comparing them, you're like, no, this is different. I have a feeling this will show a little bit more oak, a little bit more balancedness. I love, to be honest, that it's the same proof as Standard Blanton's.
Totally.
Because yeah, it's like, You gotta be able to tell the full difference. So if age is the only variable adjusted here, I find this very interesting. And the funny thing was, we tried with episode 259, we did Blanton's Gold, and I didn't love it.
Yeah.
Especially compared to Standard Blanton's. So right. I have a feeling this will be better. I mean, here's the thing: 6 to 7 years is not over old, and 8 years is definitely not too oaky usually. It's rare you'll get too oaky with 7 years.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling this will be better.
And in general, two-ish years more age, that takes time.
Oh, it takes time. Keep going.
approximately 2 years worth of time. Uh-huh. Craftsmanship. It takes storage time. More effort from a distillery than to simply proof something to a different proof point.
Yep.
So there is more craftsmanship. I feel like I can definitively say in selling an 8-year product than something that's just proofed higher.
Yeah.
So this intrigues me more because more went into it. It's not that they just hand selected a barrel and bottled it at a different proof. They had to have kept this in a warehouse for longer.
Yep.
Although there's no age statement on gold. Gold could be 8 years for all I know, too. I don't know.
Notes on the nose. Pears, apples, white sugar.
Love the pear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
Normally there's like baking apples on Blanton's for me. I really dig the pear notes here.
Yeah, there's a lot of sugars here. Mm. I'm just mega hung up on the pear note now. Mm-hmm. There's a little funky here too. Just the lightest bit of earthiness,
mm-hmm.
and like a tobacco sense. It's, I mean, it could just be oak that I'm getting, but I love the sugars here. The sugars here are, we just got done drinking 10 cups 10 year, and that was all red fruit.
Yeah.
This has so much more oak and sugars in addition to those red fruits.
While you're sipping, I think the palate's amazing. It's not like mind-blowing amazing. Well, it's pretty darn good, though. Like, I can't say it's blowing my mind in an extraordinary way, but I can say this. I could drink this every day. Like, this could be... And I actually... it's been a while since I've had Blanton's, but this is knocking some notes of saying, like, this is better than Blanton's standard.
Totally.
Yeah.
This drink's way overproof. Really good oak. Way more proof than a standard Blanton's for me in terms of full-bodiedness. Mm. It's got more spice. Normal Blanton's just kind of, for me, falls a little flat.
Mm-hmm.
And this really holds its own.
Yeah.
Has plenty of oak and a good amount of spice. And my proofometer is at like 105.
Okay. What do you think of the finish?
The finish kind of drops off.
Oh, really?
Where nothing sticks through for a very long period of time. Winging this as I'm tasting it right now, but like now that I'm thinking about it, like you're ready for another sip very quickly afterwards.
Okay.
I'm lingering spice a little bit, kind of a baking spice with a little pepper. God, I say that note on almost everything lately, but like spice is all that's left in the corner of my mouth, on the sides of my tongue, and it didn't take me on any kind of journey. It just kind of hung there, dropped off, and it's done.
I dig the finish. It's not like the longest finish, but I still think it's like a pleasant remainder for me.
Did you get any new notes on the finish, or did something hold on?
I'm not getting as much pear on the palate and the finish, but I am getting apples for sure. I'm getting that standard Buffalo Trace apples.
Mm-hmm.
But in a really beautiful, buttery way. You okay?
Close one.
Yeah, that would have been rough. Luckily, you got a screen for your mic.
You know, in our first in-person podcast episode,
you almost got Dickle in your eye.
I could have just spewed Blanton's red. I would have
gotten Blanton's in my eye.
Oh, that would have been amazing. So close.
Shout out to the... If you haven't listened to the Dickle episode, that was a great episode.
The one in Vegas.
Yep, the Vegas episode.
What were you guys doing in Vegas?
We kind of just met up. He was going because his brother-in-law was going. And then I was like, hey, I'm only like a $75 flight away from there. So.
No. Oh, you were in Phoenix at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you just went just for fun.
Yeah. Awesome. Although I didn't love it as a city.
Yeah.
It's not my kind of jam.
Was that your only time in Vegas?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we've gone a couple times, and we're not gamblers, not that we have anything against it, but just like
more.
Yeah. And anyway, so we'll see a couple shows.
That's cool.
But that's kind of all I want to do in Vegas. So like it kind of gets stale after about 2 days, 3 days.
That's kind of how it felt. But if I go to shows and stuff, that'd be worth it. I saw Gwen Stefani had a residency there for a while.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I'd totally see her. I saw Shania Twain's got a residency going on.
Maybe a little old on that one.
But yeah, Gwen Stefani's amazing.
What did you want to say? You've always had a crush on Shania Twain?
Dude, Shania... Okay, so here's the thing about Shania Twain. Is like, confident is sexy.
Yeah.
Like... Do you not agree?
Oh, no, I totally agree.
Like, I don't even care if you're, like, a 7. If you're, like, super confident, like, you go up a point or two. And, like, Shania Twain's, I like her song. But I think she's just confident in her songs.
Yeah.
And, like, she's like, I'm a confident woman in her songs. You listen to any of her songs.
Yeah.
And I think that's sexy.
Yeah.
And
I don't even care if you're a man. If you're confident.
You're sexy.
Yeah, you're
in. Get on it. listeners, 90% of our listeners being male. Just be confident. If you're single, you're looking for that girl, just be confident. She'll be like, confident is sexy.
If you're single and you reach out to Cole and just be confident,
yeah,
you never know. You might end up in San Antonio, Texas with him. Who knows?
That's right. Yep. So, yes, but that's why I like Shania Twain. But I saw she had something recently and I was like, oh, I'd see that. Actually, nice. Heather and I were planning on seeing My Chemical Romance in Vegas right before COVID.
Oh.
And we bought the tickets before COVID. It was during COVID that it got canceled, basically. Yeah. But I'm not a huge, I appreciate My Chemical Romance, but Heather's a much bigger fan than I am. She probably thought that Gerard Way was sexy because he was confident. And he is.
It works. Yeah. See, it works for every gym. Yeah. So we got to do a water pour.
Let's do it.
But we have no way to pour water.
Yeah. I'm just going to dip the finger method.
Actually, that's smart. I was going to just pour it over my pants. So I got all the water on my pants instead of the
For the pod.
So this is a little bit of water, a little bit of finger oils. The finger oils really accentuate the oak.
Finger oils are my nickname in college.
Oh, gross. So did you pour way too much water in there?
Perfect.
Oh, we got him.
Like a drip went right to the back of my throat. Yeah. Like, ugh, but I didn't cough.
So can you give some back of the throat?
Oh, yeah. The taste buds there are saying apples, caramel, and vanilla in general. Yes.
So my first hazmat whiskey ever, I somehow lucked my way into a 13th Colony 11-year rye. That's hazmat. 11 or 13? I think it's 11, though. Mm-hmm. So I'm all excited and I take the plastic off and I sip it, and my very first sip of hazmat whiskey in my entire life goes down the wrong pipe.
Oh, that's rough.
And I was done.
That's
like
drinking Everclear.
I was like burning. My esophagus was burning for like
it was hard to breathe.
2 hours.
Yeah.
I left the whiskey in the Glen for like 2 hours. Wow. I was like, I'll come back. It was the dumbest thing I've ever done.
That's worse than getting dickle in your eye.
Give me some eye tasting notes. Yeah, though. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Give me a moment. I'll sip.
Does the pear come through when you drink it through your eye?
It's just alcohol. Alcohol tastes at that point. Actually, this isn't bad. Have you sipped it yet?
No. The nose, we entry buzzed on whatever, and we had
Tin Cup 10.
Had some other things, but like, so maybe I'm a little crazy, but the nose is reminiscent of a Highland Scotch to
really?
Me now.
Not me.
It's like a honey sweetness, maybe a heavily sherry finish.
I can see that.
It just feels light.
Yeah, it
and,
is light.
And just sweet and scotchy.
Wait till you try the palate, though.
All right, I'll palate.
It's like just as good to me as the neat pour in the palate.
Hmm.
Really good.
It's the finger oils, man.
Yeah.
The spice.
I'm sorry, you called my name? Oh, I guess that was my nickname.
Nailed it. Yeah. The spice that I got neat is a little more toned down now, as you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
It's still delicious, though.
Yeah.
It, like, if somebody was not so spice inclined, this is absolutely how you'd want to drink it every time.
Yeah.
If you wanted it to be more of a summertime sipper and all you wanted to focus on was fruit, I think that water would be the way that you do it.
Impressively good for a bourbon with water. I'm going to add some ice.
Nice. I'm going to chug this.
That rhymes.
And add some ice.
Unintentional. All right. I'm going to get my finger oils all over this ice. What's that, Cole? I was just talking about finger oils.
Oh, gosh. Here we go again. Second cork pop.
Third cork pop.
Ooh. Oh, it's still good. Impressively holds up after uncorking and recorking.
Yep. Got that suction.
That was a nickname in college.
Oh, no, no. You're done. You're tapped out at finger oils. Yeah,
exactly.
And can confirm it is an A. The essence of A, letter topper, really comes through.
It is
through.
My favorite of the bland varieties. I know.
The B just, something about the B just falls really flat for me. But the A just brings those pear notes.
Have you ever had a tea, though?
No, I've never had tea.
Tea varieties, tell me about it. Dude,
all this ice has melted here, and I'm just like dipping my fingers in water.
Well, at least I'm not drinking from that anymore.
Yeah.
Great nose. Apples. I mean, it's kind of your Blanton's notes, but they're like prominent, and they're not like light at all. Like they are light in a bright way, as opposed to like a dense, flavorful way. What I love about Blanton's here is the red version. I wouldn't call this dense at all. But I also wouldn't call it lacking flavor, if that makes any sense. It is a bright, sugary whiskey with a lot of bright fruit notes.
Yeah, totally. You could have, I feel like, you could have put ice in one and had neat in the other and had me nose both. And I may not have even been able to tell the difference. The nose still really holds up with a little bit of ice in it.
So you take a sip and I'll talk about the palate. The palate is a letdown. Not a letdown. It's still really good, but it's not better than neat or water to me. It is a little light. A little light.
There's no fruit on the palate anymore.
I'm getting fruit, but but it's just not worth diluting. But it's impressive with the water, comparatively, yeah.
I might be exaggerating a little bit, but the ice just...
Still good.
Whatever sort of pear I was getting is just totally gone now. Mm-hmm. The oak comes through.
Yeah.
A small amount of spice comes through. Mm-hmm. But it's just chuggable now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're looking for flavor, ice isn't your...
Yeah.
But if you're out on a hot summer day...
You know, it's not... I honestly don't think this is bad with ice. I just think... This is not worth diluting, or at least ice diluting.
Well, we also may have just had a little bit of Yam 18 with some ice, which is the preferred method. So
that was great. Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to think about a rating for this one.
Yeah.
I have it.
I am good.
Okay. So I'll go first. 9.0.
Ooh, I wondered if you'd go there.
Right on the right on that verge of hubba to what. I think this is better than Blanton's standard. It is. I think what really got me to hubba to what status, just barely, was the water pour. I don't think most bourbons can't handle water additionally to that. I mean, most of them are cut. I get it. But like, water and ice can kill a good bourbon. And this one is actually not that bad, especially with water. It's really good. I would pay $100 for this any day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would pay $100 for this too.
Yeah.
To have one and have it on the shelf. But I think maybe after I'd shared it with all my closest friends and drank through the rest of the bottle,
wouldn't be my go-to. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I would buy another one.
Yeah.
I'm going to peg this lower and I'm going to say a point like, Four? Yeah. I think it's solid. And don't have easy access to the secondary rating scale right now. Mm. But like I'm gonna put it at a B+. I think it is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I also at the same time feel comfortable giving normal Blanton's a B or a B-.
Mm-hmm.
Or on a number scale, maybe something closer to 8.0. I think that this is a considerable and noticeable step better than normal Blanton's.
Mm-hmm.
But it's on my preferred palate. I'm a rye guy. I'm a hard candy guy. Yeah. So Brian Rapp gives this about an 8.4. I think that it is very good. It's very respectable for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of B+ for me. Yeah.
I give this an A. Maybe close between an A and an A-. I would give Blanton's a B to B+, though.
Yeah.
Standard.
Cool, cool.
Yeah. So we've talked about ratings. We've talked about how good this whiskey is. Let's talk about Whiskey World News.
Welcome back. Welcome to San Antonio, everyone. This is Whiskey World News. I'm going to read an article. I did not write this, but I am going to read it. It is from Breaking Bourbon. Nice. And Breaking Bourbon
is Nino on this one?
No. Well, the whole team's on this one.
That's true.
So Nino
Breaking Bourbon team. Wrote, he's got to be one of those dudes
like
in there.
Every third word or so came from Nino. Mm-hmm.
Kilgore. So, Marchit, in case you wonder.
The title of this episode is Brown-Forman announces the launch of own distribution business in Japan.
How fitting.
While we're on a Japan kick, we're drinking Blanton's Gold.
Yep.
I'm drinking my water out of a Japan mug. We got our ice stored in a Japan mug.
Chihiro King is from Japan.
We got Japan all over the place. Yep. But Brown-Forman is announcing their own distribution business in Japan.
I love this.
Brown-Forman Corporation, one of the largest American-owned spirits companies, is launching its own distribution business in Japan today, bringing the distribution in-house for the first time since the company entered the market in the 1970s.
Wow.
The new Brown-Forman Japan office opened in the city center of Tokyo at the end of 2023.
Konnichiwa.
With our dedicated team in place and our new and inspiring headquarters. Their headquarters is in the heart of Tokyo. Mm-hmm. We are ideally set up to further the growth of our brands in Japan across all channels, said Aaron Martin, VP General Manager, Brown-Forman Japan.
That's cool.
Japan is an important market as we drive the growth of our Jack Daniel's family of brands, Woodford Reserve, and our broader super premium portfolio.
Old Forester. Oh. They didn't mention Old Forester?
Apparently not.
Wow, they're not proud of that.
The significant expansion of our Brown-Forman Japan organization and capabilities reflects our strong belief in the immense potential of the Japanese market, said Ricardo Cupido,
Hey-o.
Vice President, Managing Director, Brown-Forman, Asia.
Nice.
You have thoughts about this?
I do have thoughts about this. Japan is a big market for bourbon. So Jack Daniel's is not bourbon. Don't get me started. But I, you know, like Age International, like proves it itself. The fact that like a Japanese company would own one of Buffalo Trace's greatest brands, and like it's just impressive to me that like Japan is so big into bourbon and like stuff like that. Doesn't surprise me that is nothing short of a like, what do you call it, like a no-brainer in terms of a business deal for Brown-Forman, because the market, you know, you can't make bourbon outside of America. Plus like corn is not super available in Asia. And so making corn-based spirits such as bourbon, such as Blanton's, such as Old Forester, Woodford Reserve, and Jack Daniel's, I just think that was – I'm surprised they didn't do that sooner. That's my thought. Yeah.
I hope it doesn't take away from the American market. I mean, I hope they don't start shipping birthday bourbon.
You know what would be funny? If they – like it worked like Age International where they like had special – you know, they probably will have special Japanese-only releases.
Yeah.
But it'd be funny if, like, Japan was like, no, birthday bourbon's ours now, or something like that. They won't, unless they sell the brand.
But, like, they do that. Like, there are what they do is there are Japanese-specific versions of things.
Wild Turkey 12.
Blanton's Red.
What's the non-chill filtered Wild Turkey?
Is
that the 12?
Well, so that's like a travel exclusive. Okay, I'm not sure that's necessarily like Japanese specific, but from what I've understood.
Isn't there Four Roses? Well, Four Roses is owned by a Japanese company too.
So funny enough, they use the word super premium in this article a lot. And there's a
middle name.
Come on, man.
It was different nickname from my nickname in college.
Oh, yeah. So you were the super premium.
Cold, super premium.
Oily Seaball. Fingers, whatever we were talking about earlier.
And then what was the other? Suction.
Yeah, suctiony, oily finger, super premium. Four Roses Super Premium is a Japanese release. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I've heard it's pretty, you know, similar to just normal Four Roses. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
it's collectible.
You know what? So I wonder, maybe there will be some Japan exclusive, Japan only Brown-Forman product.
I think that even the fact that Four Roses is owned by a Japanese company says a lot, too. And Four Roses is a good company.
You know what?
I mean, heck, do you know how many American brands are owned by international, like Wild Turkey. Like there are so many. Like the only ones that are not are basically MGP.
Yeah.
And Buffalo Trace or like Sazerac.
So I'm not good at thinking on my feet here, but brainstorm with me.
Yeah.
High proof international exclusive products.
Yeah.
I can't think of any like, oh, I can only get that in Japan.
It used to be straight from the barrel.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But not anymore.
Yeah.
But so I wonder, you know, if Brown-Forman were, you know, actually funny enough, 1924 perfectly fits the bill.
Yeah.
For like if, you know, it blends red and Four Roses Super Premium, Old Forester 1924. Mm. Like I could have seen that.
Yeah.
Like that would have kind of fit in with all these other Japanese exclusives now that I think about it.
And that it's a different mash bill.
Yeah. As long as they don't take our high proof stuff, I'm good.
Don't take our good stuff, Japan. We need that.
We love you, though. We love you.
Konnichiwa. And that's all I got.
That's all I got, too. Now, what whiskey would you choose?
Yeah.
So, 2 weeks ago, we asked you, what's the oldest whiskey you've ever had?
Did we put that on? And, we haven't put that on yet?
And then 1 week ago, we asked you, what's the oldest whiskey you've ever had? We've been busy, folks.
Yeah. I was traveling.
Although, so here's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Come Wednesday.
We're going to ask this question one more time. No, kidding. Go ahead.
As of recording this, because we're busy. We're traveling.
We got an eclipse to see.
We're traveling men. Yeah, we got an eclipse to kiss.
We got
under.
Wives. We got children or children to come.
Right. We're going to ask you on Wednesday, which is coming up, but you won't know that. This will be Monday. It'll be this past Wednesday.
It's Monday.
I will have asked you what's the oldest whiskey you've ever sipped.
Oh, it's going to happen.
But this week, I'm going to ask you right now, thinking on my feet, what whiskey have you heard about that's international do you covet the most?
That's a great question.
Do you want the most? And now that I'm asking this question, I realize I have to answer this question.
Totally.
But I literally came up with that about 5-10 seconds ago.
Nice. I think it's a good question.
And it'd be too easy for me to just say Four Roses Super Premium or something, which actually I've heard
I know the answer.
Isn't that great?
Four Roses Super, yeah. It's not that super premium.
I don't have like a solid answer here.
I do.
But like one of these days, Sam and I are going to go to Scotland. And I only just recently heard about a distillery called the Macduff Distillery. And I'll tell you, I'll let you in on a little family secret here. We used to have dogs all the time. We had many dogs on the farm. Mm-hmm. I grew up on a farm in Kansas.
Boy.
And we had a dog called Macduff. And Macduff was just the best dog
in
the world.
What flavor was he?
Macduff was an Australian Shepherd. Australian Blue Heeler. Yeah.
Oh, so that's different. That's a cattle dog.
Oh, yeah. Definitely cattle dog. No. Australian Blue Heeler. Mm-hmm. Best dog in the world. His name was Macduff.
I love Blue Heelers.
And apparently there's a Macduff distillery.
Do it.
So I'll tell you what I want that's presumably international only is a bottle, anything. I don't even care if it's a 4-year-old scotch from the Macduff distillery, but I want a bottle that says Macduff on it because it's going to remind me of the family dog we had growing up on the farm when I was a kid.
I love that. I love international brands, especially scotch. And I especially love peated scotches. And I especially love Ardbeg peated scotches. And if you're talking about coveted and like, I'm looking at that and I'm like drooling when I see it, there is an Ardbeg 25 out there. It's about $1,200.
Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine Ardbeg at 25 years?
No, literally can't.
So if listeners out there, if you're like, hey, I found an Ardbeg 25 and I stole it from the store and didn't pay anything, consider sending it to us, or at least a sample.
Also consider not stealing anymore.
Yeah, don't steal. Unless there's no losers in this game.
Don't steal unless it's an Ardbeg 25.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're not into that unless it's an Ardbeg 25. Yeah, That's my answer. Ardbeg 25.
Heck yeah, that sounds awesome. It's
got a really cool, you got to see this label.
All right, I'll share my 4-year Macduff distillery with you, and you share your Ardbeg 25.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, wait, go away. Go away, thing.
Advertisements are the worst, guys. This episode is brought to you by...
Yes. Okay, look at that cool... Ardbeg 25, look it up.
Heck yeah, that looks awesome.
Amazing. And Ardbeg just kills it.
So. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So that we want to hear your answers for both. What is the oldest whiskey age you've ever tried? As well as what is your most coveted international brand? But we'll hear back this week and we'll do the results next episode.
What are we drinking next episode?
Oh, so it won't be next episode. It'll be 2 episodes. So we're drinking. Yeah. Next episode, we're not just drinking anything we're putting up on Two Pick Tuesday. We are drinking Ace Smith Bowman Cash Strength Bash 3.
Heck yeah.
But didn't I mention recently that like we couldn't get that? I was like, I reached out and they were like, no. But it might have been the Abraham Bowman.
That was for them to actually send us something. But we're going to them.
We're literally going to
them.
They're
rewarding us.
And they're
going to
pour from their stock.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so straight from the barrel. I don't know.
Dude, I will push for that if I can. We've been bold enough with them. I'm just going to be like, so what will it take, David Bach, to drink from this random barrel right here? So anyway, we'll see
grovel.
If we can do that. We'll take a video if we do.
We can grovel.
Yeah, we can grovel.
Yeah, I can grovel. Mm-hmm. Not a problem.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to be amazing. I bet you we can.
Hopefully.
But David Bach's probably a respectable man who respects the whiskey and respects us, all that stuff.
Well, I hope it's as delicious as Batch 1, which I've had courtesy of you. Thank you so much.
You know what I'm thinking I hope right now? I'm hoping that I can tie you in Season 2 for the reentry buzz.
Yeah. I'm hoping that the San Antonio clouds clear up a little bit so we can actually see an eclipse because the forecast is not looking great and expectations are low, but who knows?
It'll go dark at least.
Fingers crossed.
Cool. Hey. I'm a man of faith, and I believe that it can go. We can see that sun. But anyway, I hope that that a miracle will happen. Divine intervention will happen that we can see this cool sun and not just darkness. That's deep. But most of all, listeners, I hope that our love of whiskey lifted your spirits. Sex. I don't mean this as like a. It's not a weird thing. If you're single, everyone come over to my bedroom and we'll have a party. And I'm like, I don't wear shorts.
We're gonna find some bottles
below their waist, but I prefer it. Dickle. It's got a flat bottom. Sweet. Oh, you can't grab it. You can't hold it.
Can't
you have
grab
to
it.
Hit it.
Can you kick it? Like
nope. Anything below the waist, ball with your hand. You are as tall as you say you are, and you got big hands.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't notice. No, look at that. His hands are pretty big.
The finger oils really accentuate. Yeah, suctiony, oily fingers.
Okay.
My box. But
Dang, yo, box.
The
finger oils all over this thing.
Hey, I'm just mega hung. Derail city.
I'm not going to say we held hands, but we might have held hands.